In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, he's back. He's back and is always something to fight with. Let me tell you, if there wasn't a fight, I would just say, "My Lord, what's wrong?" There's always something to fight with. Let me just tell you a couple of things. Tomorrow, we'll be celebrating 25 years on the radio on WEZE. We've already celebrated 24 years on the radio at WROL. So tomorrow, on the 20th of January, we will be celebrating 25 years of broadcasting on the radio. And I just want to tell you, when I named it, it was God who named it, In Season and Out of Season. I tell you, I've done a lot of these things out of season, let me tell you. And I'm going to tell you, those are probably the best times for people when I've been out of season. So, tomorrow is our anniversary, 25 years. Hopefully we're going to have a big shindig this year, the 25th year. I have no idea what I'm going to do at this point. At this point, I can't put two eggs together, but that's another issue. Maybe by tomorrow I'll be able to put three eggs together. So, just want you to know, 25 years, and if you want to help us to continue these broadcasts, I'd be very grateful. If you don't, just keep on listening. Just keep on listening, because you'll never hear anyone say what I say, because people are chicken, and they don't tell you the truth. They just want to tell you what you want to hear, and I'm not into that. I'm telling you what I see to be the truth. I am not always telling you the truth, because it comes through me, and I am just a prism that he shines his light through. I am not the oracle of Delphi, let me tell you that. I do the best I can. I do the best I can. So anyway, tomorrow, 25 years. Let me just tell you this. When I started, I didn't think I'd be on for a year. You know what Jamie Stuart Wolfe says? Jamie Stuart Wolfe says, "Father Tom starts something, and he never knows when to finish." And you know what? She knows me. You know what Sue Noy says? "Father Tom keeps on doing the things he hates." Well, I don't hate doing this. That's really true. I do not hate doing this. Because I know that I'm reaching you. And if I'm reaching you, that's enough for me. If I'm reaching you, that's enough for me. And that's real. That's real. If I'm reaching you, that's enough for me. Okay, let's do the best we can. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon your people, because you know what, Lord, we are in absolute need of your mercy. So, Lord, have mercy upon your people. 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 Amen. Have mercy upon your people. Have mercy upon your people. Have mercy. Have mercy and have mercy. Have mercy, have mercy, and have mercy. Okay, we're reading from Hebrews today. The church has been giving us from the book of Hebrews. Let me tell you the story of Hebrews, okay? First of all, we do not know the author. Some people say it's St. Paul. I really don't care who wrote it. As a matter of fact, it makes no difference to me who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. It's really not even a letter. It's kind of a body of instruction more than a letter. A letter you'd find like to the Ephesians or to the Colossians or to the Corinthians, that's more of a letter. The Hebrews is not really a letter. It's more of a body of content written to the Jewish Christians. And these Jewish Christians are undergoing persecution at this point. these Jewish Christians are undergoing persecution. And we know that when Hebrews was written, that the temple was still open. They were still doing sacrifice. You might ask, how do you know that? Because the writer to the Hebrews tells us that day by day, they are offering sacrifice in the temple, which means he is recording that in the temple, they are continuing to do temple sacrifice. So the Hebrews letter, we'll call it, was written around the year, I'd say 60 to 70, because in the year 70, the temple was completely destroyed. The prophetic word of Jesus, not a stone upon a stone shall be left. Why? Because you failed to realize your visitation. Now, we look at this, and these Jewish Christians, and they did call themselves Christians, they did not call themselves Messianic Jews. They were Christians. St. Paul writes to them as Christians, even though at Antioch they were called Christians, those were the Gentiles. But Christians, these Jewish Christians, were undergoing deep persecution. And when you undergo deep persecution, you have to ask yourself, is it all worth it? Is it all worth it? That's what you have to ask yourself. Is it worth it? What I'm going through, is this whole thing worth the trouble? And that's exactly what they're asking. And some people want to shirk back. They want to go back, and they want to go back, and they want to have back to the Torah. Now, I'm not saying that they've left the Torah. I'm not saying they've left the first five books of the Bible. I am saying they want to go back to the temple. Why? Because now they're being persecuted. And, you know, when you look at the temple worship, you have an ornate liturgy. You have a high priest. He goes into the Holy of Holies once a year. He is decked out. He's got bells on his legs because if he falls, you know, the bells will stop ringing. A rope around that leg because no one can go into the Holy of Holies but the high priest to make atonement for sins. And he does that once a year on the Feast of Yom Kippur, the Feast of Atonement. And as he's doing this, okay, the Jewish Christians are looking and they are experiencing deep persecution. And when you experience deep persecution, you have to ask yourself, is it all worth it? Very important. Is it all? I'll tell you. That's a question I have to keep on asking myself. Is it all worth it? It is not a question you answer once and for all. It is a question that needs to be answered over and over again. Is what I am going through all worth the trouble? Okay? No one can answer that question for you. No one can answer that question for you. You can be at the crossroads asking yourself, is it all worth it? Do I need to continue to go through this stuff? It would be easier to go back to the temple, or it would be easier to go back to the world. Okay? Name it, okay? It's things haven't changed. Most people have decided it is not worth it. Most people who have experienced the power of God, the presence of God, have decided it is not worth it. I will not undergo this any longer. I will have a comfortable life. I will do what I want to do. I will run my own life. I will tell you, most people have reneged. They have come to that crossroads and they've said no more. But you know what? Where are you? Where are you? At that crossroads, I can tell you that you can either surrender, and I could either surrender, or you can give it all up. That's real. Those are the options. If you surrender, then God will open the doors of heaven. He will open the doors of heaven at the crossroads of your death, because that is a death. If you decide to quit, oh yeah, you might find life a little easier, but you will not know God's best, or God's second best, or God's third best. You will be on your own, and your heart will grow cold, and you will eventually wither away. So you have those decisions, just like the letter to the Hebrews. You see, things haven't changed. If you think things have changed, things haven't changed. So I'm just setting before you, as it tells us in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. You choose life. You choose life. If you want to choose death, you need to choose the consequences. You need to experience the consequences. And the choice is always before us, life and death, especially when we come to the crossroads, especially when we reach that point that is it all worth it? Understand what I'm saying? And we will always, always, at another step, reach that point. Is it all worth it? So, let's look at the letter of the Hebrews, and let's see what the author is trying to tell us. The scripture tells us in the chapter number 3, take heed, brothers, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. In the midst of your persecution, as you're looking at the temple with nostalgia, as the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, take heed. You've got bread and wine that becomes the body and blood of Christ. It seems so simple, but it is his body and blood. And the liturgy of the high priest seems oh so ornate. And to join them again would mean not to have the persecution that I'm receiving. Not only from Rome, but from the Jews. Exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. While it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Another word for exhort, I would say, be encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily. Received a call today from a man we've been praying for, his wife. His wife is in the hospital. She has cancer. Her bile ducts were plugged up. She had to have a procedure. She was very discouraged. Would you call my wife today? Would you pray with her? Of course I will. Exhort one another. Tell each other it's okay. I know it's painful what you're going through, but you know what? It's going to be all right. Exhort one another. Got another call on my answering service. Would you pray for my mother? She has Alzheimer's. I was away on mission. I just heard the letter, the message today, so I called back. The woman was so grateful. They were on their way to the funeral home to bury their mother. So, you know, she said, what hope you have given me today. Just a telephone call. Just a telephone call. Just a telephone call. That's all it was. A measly telephone call. And I prayed with her. Exhort one another while it is still today. Look at the brethren and see what people are going through. And care for them. Care for them. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let me tell you that sin is a liar. It is a deceiver, because the author of sin is Satan. Now, what sin is he referring to? The sin of unbelief, of turning away from Jesus Christ. That is the sin that he's referring to. Not a sin of adultery. Not a sin of lewdness. Not a sin of theft. But this basic sin of unbelief. Exhort one another. And do not be taken in by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are all partakers of the Messiah. We are all partakers of His Spirit. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, we are partakers of Jesus Christ because we are in Him. We have His Spirit. We are partakers of Jesus Christ if we hold to the confidence that we had at the beginning steadfastly. Now I'm going to tell you, that confidence wanes, doesn't it? Especially when you reach the crossroads. Is it all worth it? What have I got to show for it? Everybody has something. Look at me. You know, we've all go through it. Do I want to proceed? These are very important questions. And for people say, I never have those questions. You are not in the race. You are not in the race. You are not in the race. Because I tell you, when the scripture tells us that the enemy goes about seeking someone to devour, to resist him steadfast in the faith, know that the brethren all over the world are undergoing the same temptation. So I'm going to tell you, the temptation is always against faith and always against Jesus Christ, ultimately, to give up our first love and our faith in Jesus. That's the temptation. I want you to know it. The other sins are all fruits of wanting to do that. All right? So I'm going to tell you, you have to, as Jesus Christ our Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, said, if you are about to be a disciple, you need to count the cost. Because my friends, there will be a cost. If you think there is no cost, you know, we all want it ever so sweet. We all want it our way. Have it your, I do not run Burger King. You can have it your way at Burger King, all right? Have it your way. I'm going to tell you, I don't have it my way. The name of the game is inconvenient. That's the name of the game. The name of the game is inconvenience. That's the name of the game. You don't want to be inconvenient? Don't trust Jesus. Go to a monastery. But you see, even in a monastery, you get brothers that will torment you. Teresa of Lisieux had a lady, the nun that used to play with her rosary beads, used to torture her. Now, you might say, that's stupid, yeah? If you lived in a monastery with a whole bunch of women, maybe that wouldn't be stupid. See, we've all got something. Because you know what? We all want it our way. But let me tell you, you'll never get it your way. Unless you go to Burger King. Hold the chicken and the tuna, la 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 la. Yeah, that's how you'll have it your way to Burger King. Hold the onions, more mayonnaise. But when you're following the Lord, prepare yourself for an ordeal. You will not get it your way. Like, who do you think you are? And who do I think I am? That's the issue. So, we are partakers of Jesus Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. Be steadfast. For today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Remember what it says in the 95th chapter of Psalms. If today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as they did in Meribah, in Massah in the desert. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, there are people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Do not harden your hearts. How do we harden our hearts? With unbelief. With turning away from Jesus. With wanting it our way. And let me tell you, that's all human. I want to tell you, that's so human. I want it my way. Listen, can I be honest with you? I won't be honest with you. See, if I haven't done anything with 25 years being with you people, I just want to be honest with you, okay? Do I want it my way? You bet I do. Do I get it my way? You bet I don't. All right? But I'd be a liar to tell you that I don't want it my way. Of course I do. I want it my way. But they're singing that song in hell in three-part harmony. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, yeah. You did it my way. I want to tell you, the whole experience of Christianity is inconvenience. That's what it is. It is inconvenience. And if you don't like it, look at the man on the cross. All right? Look at the man on the cross. That Friday, he had better things to do. See, we hold up the cross in nostalgia. But when Jesus has us be nailed to the cross, in our circumstances, we don't like it. And I don't like it either. But you know what? That's the name of the game. But if you want to play it, you can. You don't have to. You've reached the crossroads. You got to do what you got to do. Every one of us. You don't have to hold on to Jesus. You don't. But accept the consequences. You surrender at the crossroads, and you'll see God open the heavens. You have it your way? Never. I did it Yahweh. You see, I'm going to tell you, we all go through this. This is not something new. This is something that has been as old as Abraham himself. Take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. But you promised. He's the child of the... Take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's a crossroads. He had to make a decision. You know, do I want to do that? Or do I want to pull out a rabbit, you know, out of somebody's hat? Anyway, you know, it's the name of the game is faith, inconvenience. I'm going to tell you, when I was a young priest, I used to have a man, because they wouldn't let people sleep in the rectory, and we still can't. But let me just tell you this. I had a man who used to sleep in my automobile. My automobile. Listen to this. We were on our way, my mother and I, to the Seneca prayer meeting one night, and we're driving by Boston Garden from Quincy. And the guy was already in the back of the automobile. He says, "Where are you taking me, Father Tom?" My mother nearly flew out of the car. "Who is this?" "This is John. And he's a good man. He just has no place to live." By the time Walter came, Walter was as drunk as a skunk. And I wasn't going to pay $65 for a hotel room that night. I had paid already. We had just had a Bible study. Now, you know, we had just realized that someone in the parish had died because they were drunk and they threw up and the vomit went the wrong way. So what do I do with Walter? What do you do with Walter? He's as drunk as a skunk. You got no place to put him. What do you do with Walter? What would Jesus do? Listen, Jesus is not antiseptic. And so I said, Walter, the pastor's sleeping, but if he ever finds out that you're in my room, I am dead meat. So he came up to my room. I gave him my mattress, and I slept on the box spring. Walter snored so loud that I didn't sleep a wink. When the pastor went to celebrate Mass at 7 in the morning, I threw him out. You see, oh, I could tell you more stories. I've got more stories of inconvenience and craziness. About the young man. You see, and all these faces are not beautiful faces, okay? Oh, it's easy to do it for the beautiful faces, okay? Because we're all attracted to the beauty. I had a young man who's brought up by a prostitute. He still writes to me. He got a healing at a healing service in California. Wrote to me yesterday. Because we spent extra time with him. He had never gone to church in his life. You see, it's all about inconvenience. The Hebrews had reached a point in their lives. Did they want to continue with Jesus? Or would they go back to the temple? Let me finish by saying this. Once you've tasted the best wine, the rest is vinegar, even if you've tasted it once. Believe me.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.